I'm glad to be back and see you all and worship together. And today we're going to continue on the series of Following God's Plan, number 4. And the title is Be a Part and Be a Blessing. This morning, I switched on my phone and I saw news. And I saw this map. Do you know this map? What's that about? Make a guess. What are those pins representing? Anyone have an idea? Those are the Auckland suburbs still averaging under 1 million. Not a lot of places, apartments in the CBD and a section of South Auckland. If you move out, if you need to move out or you are moving out or whatever, where will you choose to live? I guess these days the first things you need to consider is the affordability. But you can afford it. When you have a bigger deposit, you would probably consider the neighborhood, the location, the school zone, etc. I heard that some people, they choose where to live based on the potential of the rising house prices. Because they invest in that, they live in that, and then they hope that after a few years, the price of the house will rise, not decreasing. Say, North Shore may have more potential than Flatbush. I also know some people who choose the location based on how close that is to the church. For those people, they may change job, but they won't change church. They think they won't change church forever. Some of them may go to the church very often, so they want to live close to the church. I was one of them when I was in Hong Kong. And some people, when they go into open home, they pray and they decided this is the one. These are all valid considerations. Buying a house is an important decision. It affects many aspects of your life. So how do you choose where you live? Abraham's nephew, Lot, he knew where the good land was. The whole plain of Jordan would be the best place to expand his flocks, his herds, his farming business. And the best news is, his uncle, Abraham, surprisingly let him choose first. To Lot, it's a no-brainer that he would take the best land available. But he forgot two important things. Well, perhaps it's not forgotten, just because those things were not considered as something important. He just didn't value those things. So let's take a look at the passage again. This happened after Abraham went to Egypt because of the famine. Do you remember that he lied to the Pharaoh that his wife is only his sister and Pharaoh took her away? And because of that, God intervened and God inflicted serious disease on Pharaoh. And Pharaoh asked them to leave. And then, there's this place. Abraham has become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. And for Najib, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent has been earlier and where he had first built an altar. There, Abraham called on the name of the Lord. That's Abraham. And what about Lot? Now, Lot, who was moving about with Abraham, who also had flocks and herds and tents, the Lord blessed Abraham. And he was not only wealthy in livestock, he had silver and gold. He's very rich. He got everything. And the blessing of the Lord came to Lot as well, as he traveled with Abraham. So, two wealthy men. Earning money from the same industry, living in the same area, what would happen? They compete with each other. It's because the resources, the treasures are always limited. I'll give you an example. Flatbush is a huge area. It's around 1,700 hectares. And around 1996 and 1997, sometime about that, I remember I always drive through Chapel Road to the airport. Stephen can imagine that. I mean, we always take that road, because that particular turn is still there. Maybe we've gone soon, because I heard that they're taking out one of the churches. If you know which part I'm talking about. I've never imagined that would be covered with houses. So even Flatbush, such a big area, the resources are limited. Resources are always scarce. Natural resources may be better in New Zealand, but in Middle East, you don't find lands with grass and water everywhere. So they compete with each other with resource, for the resource. So the land could not support them while they stay together. For the possessions were so great, they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abraham's herders and Lot's. And the Canaanites and Perizzites was also living in land at the time. So Abraham said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. It's not the whole land before you. Let's part company. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left." Now Abraham suggests part company, separate, because of the quarreling between the servants. Simply haven't got enough land to feed all animals. They were close relatives. If this continued, they would fight with each other. So Abraham proposed a separation. Were there other options apart from separating from each other? I don't know, but it seems like that is the easiest solution. My two boys still stay in the same room. My house has four rooms, so we actually have prepared for them one room for each of them. But they are still staying in the same room. Sometimes they file complaints to us about each other, and sometimes I suggest, like, what about you just go back to your room? I mean, like, separate. But they would rather to stay in the same room. They would rather to stick to each other for now. Not for Abraham and Lot. So you can sort of imagine the relationship. When Abraham suggested that, perhaps he knew that a separation would be better. I'm not too sure about what Lot was thinking, because he was quite passive in the narrative. He's not the main character anyway. But I think Lot was happy to be able to choose first. When you go to the supermarket, as you turn into that aisle with toilet paper and tissue, and as you spot the last pack of toilet paper on the shelf, what will you do? Will you grab that and turn away before there's another man running from the other end of the aisle chasing for that toilet tissue? Will you just do that, grab that? The last pack? I mean, fortunately, we are not in that situation at all. I've seen one empty shelf in, where was that? Some part of the West, Southwest. They said the logistic problem, but I mean, in Auckland, I guess you haven't seen empty shelf like that at all. There wasn't good land for everyone at that time, at Abraham's time. If there were, there won't be much fuel for quarreling. The author actually reminds us that the Canaanites were there, the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. There are other people chasing for the good lands. The good lands are like the last pack of toilet paper. And Abraham was like someone who had his hand on the last pack, and he decided to hand that to his fellow shopper. He didn't use his rights to be the first one to pick to take the last pack. He probably didn't even need to exercise his authority, because he's the uncle, right? Everything comes through him. But Abraham was gracious. He was gracious to Lot. Let him choose first. He wasn't just gracious. He was also generous. Are you a generous person? You think you're quite a generous person? I'm pretty sure you are all generous most of the time, especially when you have things, you have spare stuff, you're very generous. But when things are limited, will you still be the gentleman, the gentle ladies? We are in a world of scarcity. We need to fight for almost everything. Politely fight for a lot of things. And especially if we were a normal person, we fight for everything. But we are not normal person. We are Christians. Do we fight for everything? Do we still fight for all those limited resources? The last pack of toilet paper? Not working for me this time. Apple tree. If there are three apples falling from a tree, will you eat one and leave the other two for someone else to eat? Or you put all of them in your backpack instead of leaving them on the ground and sell them on the roadside, or like save it for yourself? What if those are the last three apples on the planet? Most people will just pick them up and sell it at a good price, earn some profit. A Christ follower would act differently. If there were only three apples on the tree and there are four persons, including yourself, standing by, a disciple would let other pick the apple. He won't mind suffering from hunger or thirst and wait until the fourth apple falls. Where's the fourth apple? What if there's no fourth apple? The disciple won't ask that question, because he knew that the Lord would provide him another apple or a cup of apple juice in ways that we cannot imagine. Because God has promised us. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And Jesus also said, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Jesus' promise of providence for his disciples is all over the Bible. Are you one of Jesus' disciples? Are you one of the foolish people who waits for the fourth apple? The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we are being saved. Know it is the very power of God. Abraham was the second person when there was one apple. He wasn't down me, but he let Lord to choose first. At the time, as I said, the Canaanites and the Perizzites was living in the land of Canaan. And after Lord's choice, Abraham would be competing with them for grass and water and land until one day God kicked them out. Abraham trusted God's promise. God has promised that he will give the land of Canaan to Abraham's descendants. That means there will be enough land, water, grass for him and for all his offspring, even though he didn't choose that for himself. Abraham's trust of the promise make him gracious, make him generous. He has certainly received grace from the gracious Lord, so he doesn't need to do all sort of push and pull to be the first in line. And he's generous, not because he has a lot to give. That's the last piece of land already. He's generous because even though he didn't know the result when he took the risk, he knew that the generous Lord will provide to him in an abundant way. So are you a gracious and generous person? Is it because you have worked hard and you have accumulated enough resource to share so that you can be generous? Or is it because you know that the Lord has provided all your needs in the past and today, and in the future, he will provide all your needs as well? So even you don't have everything, you're willing to share. You are still generous. Let's take a look at how they arrived to the decision, like who goes left and who goes right. Lot looked around and saw the good land, the whole plain of Jordan, and he chose for himself the whole plain of Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men part company. And Abraham lived in the land of Canaan, and Lot lived among the city of plain and pitched his tent near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom was wicked and was sinning greatly against the Lord. A lot of description about the place that Lot is moving to. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot has parted from him, he said, look around from where you are. So both of them looked around. Both of them lift up their eyes and look around and see what is good. But Lot looked around for himself. He chose the best for himself and he left forever. And Abraham actually didn't look around at first. In verse 12, it said he lived in the land of Canaan. He had been living there, so he just stayed there. It's sort of contrasting now Lot lived among the wicked people in Sodom. Abraham took no thought for himself. He didn't look around to choose at all. It's the Lord in verse 14, the Lord asked him, see, look around. The Lord pointed Abraham to lift up his eyes and look around what have been provided to him. The Lord is so generous. He gave the land that Abraham saw to him, all the land. He invited Abraham to go and walk through the length and the breadth of the land, the promised land. He asked Abraham to experience his grace and blessing. Let's read the verse 14 onward. He said, look around from where you are, to north and south, to east and west. All the land you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring can count. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. That's what the Lord is giving Abraham. The one who didn't choose for himself. And that is actually what Paul prayed for us in Ephesians chapter 4. He said, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The love of God. The plan of God surpasses all knowledge. So if we use our worldly knowledge to direct how we follow the plan of God in our lives, we are likely to miss out the length, the breadth of the gifts that have been given to us. Just like Lot. Lot certainly missed it out. He could have chosen the land of Canaan. If we remember that the Lord has actually promised the land of Canaan to them. I said Lord had forgotten two things. The first thing is that he forgot that everything he had was from the Lord. The blessing come upon him through Abraham. His flock, his herds, his tents were all blessing from the Lord. And the second thing he forgot is that God has actually promised Abraham the land of Canaan. And he chose somewhere else. He chose to leave the promised land. These are the two things that Abraham hasn't forgotten this time. Abraham trusts in his promise. It makes Abraham gracious and generous. Instead of getting into conflict due to lack of resources, fighting for the plan, like the plain of Jordan. Like fighting with Lot. So that's Abraham and Lot. That's the story. What about us? How do we practice that in this world? How can we not compete with our competitors? Can we not compete with our competitors? The title of this sermon is Be Apart and Be a Blessing. Abraham asked, Lord, separate from me. Be apart, separate. That's the only way to be a blessing to others. I'm not saying that you need to live physically separate from the world. I'm saying that you need to do things differently. When you're in competition for wealth and power, that you're sort of doing that in this world, I'm asking you, don't compete. Don't use the worldly way. Don't try to outsmart other people. Don't trust in your own abilities and resources. Don't think for yourself. Don't think for yourself for tomorrow. Be apart. Be like Abraham. Let your opponents choose first. Let your opponents see the best and grab the best with their worldly eyes. And then you wait for the last, the apple that is not on the tree. Wait to receive blessing from above. And not just receive, it's receive and bless others. To stay in the promise of God, you need to be apart from the worldly way. And then you can be gracious and generous as our Lord, and you can be the blessing to others. That's what Jesus said. He says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's what Jesus said. This is basically a commentary to this story. Seek first His kingdom. And then I guess in your mind is thinking, this non-competing approach is highly impractical. Isn't that? Well, I totally agree with that. It's very impractical. And that's why this is only the second part of the story. If you still remember the first part of the story that we talked about a few weeks ago, the second Sunday of this year, when Abraham was anxious about his own life, worrying that the Egyptian may kill him because his beautiful wife. At that time, he saw things with the same eyes as the Egyptians, as the world. And that brought curse to Egyptians because God intervened. This is the first half. What about the second half? The first half, we see that Abraham showed weak faith. And this part of the story now, we see Abraham showing strong faith. It demonstrates what would happen as we choose to follow God or follow the world. And this time in the second half, Abraham saw things differently as the world. Differently as Lot, especially. And it brought blessing. It would be a blessing to Lot if he can choose first. And if he chose the promised land. Even though he hasn't chose the promised land, after that, you see that Abraham was still a blessing to him because he rescued Lot in chapters 14, and he pleaded for Sodom and Gomorrah in chapter 18. He bargained with God, like from 50 to 10. But there was none like righteous people. If not that the Lord remembered Abraham, Lot would not be saved. So what Abraham did has brought blessing bringing curse. So that's the reality. That's the reality as the reality of God coming to the reality of this world. That's what we will have in our life. Weak faith and strong faith. None of us, including Abraham, none of us will always be with strong faith. Don't get it wrong. Sometimes we'll be having weak faith. A lot of the time, maybe. But God always keeps His promise. When we trust in Lord, God will surely act and bring blessings. When we have weak faith, we trust ourselves, it will bring trouble, it will bring curse. But God still acts and saves. That's what this story is telling about. In Christ Jesus, God said, actually act and save. That's the faithfulness of God. Remember, Easter is coming up. I will certainly encourage you to be apart from the world, to be a blessing, to be impractical in this world. But still, you have choices. You can choose the way, to use your own way, and that will bring curse. The story have clearly tell us that. But no matter what choices you make, the gospel is still there. That's the most important thing. The gospel is still there, and God will still save us. That's the gospel. Let's pray. God, we give thanks to you. Because a lot of the time that we are having weak faith, even though that we don't admit it, even though we don't even know that, we haven't put all our trust in you. We haven't been waiting for that non-existing apple. But Lord, you're still so good and so powerful, and you always save us. Lord, help us to have strong faith, maybe some of the time, just like Abraham in this time, that he think differently. He can be apart from the world. And he do impractical things. But that bring blessing to those people around him. Lord, help us to be apart, to be a blessing to those people around us. And Lord, again, we thanks for what you have done for us on the cross and from the tomb. And now, up high in the sky, and pray for us so that we can be more like you. Jesus, thanks for loving us. In your name we prayed. Amen.